You're listening to SpursCast, episode 594. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the SpursCast. Today, I'll be joined by Project Spurs founder, Michael DeLeon. In this episode, Mike and I will discuss the Spurs getting back into the top 10 defensively and Jakob Poeltl's play off the bench. Let's go ahead and get started. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing well, staying safe and healthy, and I'm just glad that NBA seems to be back in full swing and still a little bit of football left to be played, so it's been a good, time for sports right now.
Awesome, yeah. I'm a little worried about the NBA because, we see all these games left and right getting canceled each day, and then the players testing positive or just having to go into quarantine. So,
yeah.
So I know that
the G League, we just talked about this with Jonas and John on our Forever Tours, and they kind of took the NBA's lead from last year, and they're going to do it in the bubble, and it seems like that seems like the best idea. That seems to work well, and so the whole travel thing, everything else is just, it changes things for quite a bit. So, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of postponements lately, and so we'll see where things go from here.
Yeah, for sure. And, the Spurs have also been affected by this. They didn't say that anybody tested positive, but we do know that Drew Eubanks and Becky Hammon and then one other staffer are all in quarantine, for the 14 days that they have to sit out. So that's happened to the Spurs, too, even though they haven't had a game canceled, but they got close because of the game against the Rockets. The Rockets had just completed a trade, and then they had a bunch of players with injuries, and then some of their players were also quarantining. So, they had almost got canceled that Saturday game. They could barely field eight players. But let's go ahead and go into the latest news regarding the Spurs. Last time I recorded was about a week ago, and so since then they've played five games. They went 3-2 in these last five games, so overall they are 7-6. So through 13 games they are above 500, barely. So last Saturday, let's go back there. They played a back-to-back against Minnesota. They got a win in Minnesota by 3 points in overtime. That was a very close game. Karl-Anthony Towns had just returned to the Wolves, and the Spurs had the majority of their lineup there. So the Spurs held on for a very close win. Then on Sunday, DeMar DeRozan had to leave the Spurs because his father was ill, unfortunately. And then Towns was sitting out just for precautionary measures due to coming back from injury. And the Spurs ended up dropping this game. This was a bad loss for them. They lose by 8 in Minnesota on that Sunday, on the second night of back-to-back. And unfortunately, going forward into the week, we did learn that Karl-Anthony Towns ended up testing positive for COVID-19. So we wish him all the best, and all the players, and everybody else that has COVID-19 the best going forward. And then on Tuesday, the Spurs got a win by 10 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is what with DeMar DeRozan out as well because he was still, tending to his father. Then on Thursday, DeRozan returned to the team, and the Rockets had just completed the trade for James Harden. They didn't have any of the new players, and the Spurs ended up losing this one by 4 points to the Rockets. This one, it looked like a bad loss for the Spurs because the Rockets only had nine players healthy. Then on Saturday, the Spurs were pretty much full except for Derek White not being there, and the Rockets were, still could only field eight players, and the Spurs got a comfortable win here by 12 points on Saturday, against the Rockets. So two things I noticed before, and I want to get your thoughts on this. I wanted to talk about real quick about Lonnie Walker IV, just the kind of game we saw, how he had those two games when DeRozan was out. We saw that he was way more aggressive, attacking the basket, getting to the free throw line. And then as soon as DeRozan came back, we kind of saw him revert back to what he's been, maybe scoring a few buckets in the paint in the fast break, but mainly shooting a lot of threes, which is good because, they need a three-point shooter, but he just wasn't that aggressive. And one thing to note is that he did have like a bandage on his left hand in both of those games against the Rockets, so maybe he is a little injured. But, Coach Pop said, when DeRozan was out, that this is kind of something that the coaching staff has been talking to Lonnie about, just being aggressive, attack, don't take no prisoners attitude. That's what they want from him. But, again, when DeRozan came back, he just shifted back to that like fourth option in terms of attacking the basket. So what have you thought about the last five games, and also if you can give some thoughts on Lonnie's performance when DeRozan was out?
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting looking at the games and trying to find patterns and things like that. Really, the thing I'm seeing most is it seems like when they get more help, when it's more than just like DeMar and like one other player, that's when they seem to do well. Like against the Minnesota, one of those games, it seemed like all of the starters scored in double figures, and they got Patty Mills off the bench with 21 points, and so they really need to have kind of, not everyone rolling, but, as soon as they get that help across the board, I mean, obviously they have better chances, especially if they have any players struggling. I think that night, Rudy Gay didn't play a whole lot, and so he didn't get his normal, but And then also, it just seems like these players that, and I don't want to say come out of nowhere because they're known players, but seem to be like a thorn in the side. Like, I think it was Malik Beasley against Minnesota and Christian Wood. And to me, Christian Wood's a guy that he has like his go-to thing, or he takes the ball out in the perimeter and he tries to drive past whoever is guarding him every time.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that kind of over and over again, and it seemed to give the Spurs problems. So that's kind of, I guess, what I saw. And then Lonnie, you're right. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, I understand, DeMar's, I guess, the, like, star player or whatever with the Spurs, but he definitely seems to regress sometimes. And it's like, I think they've got to have him continue to be aggressive, continue to play his way. I mean, just looking at that game against Houston, or even like three straight games, he had 25, 24, and 16, and then he comes back, and then DeMar comes back, and he had like 8 points. And it's like, kind of like he's, like, I don't know if afraid is the right word, but kind of afraid to assert himself a little bit more. Kind of like he's taking a backseat, and I think he's just got to continue playing his style, because I think that, like, all-out aggression and moving down the floor as fast as he can and slicing through the defense, that's just how he does well. That's kind of his weapon, and he needs to continue to use that.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it was evident by the fact that he wasn't getting to the free throw line in those last two games with DeMar back, whereas he was doing that, you know, against when DeMar was out. And so I really think that really shows that whenever Derek White eventually gets healthy, I think that, you know, the bench role might be the best for Lonnie, because, you know, he can be out there by himself with mainly more spot-up shooters, or, you know, in Patty Mills, Devin Vassell, Rudy Gay, so that he would have the opportunity. Basically, Pop can maybe tell, because, you know, Pop's basically been saying, we've been telling him, the coaching staff, you know, be aggressive, attack like that, you know, continue to do that, but he doesn't do it when he's there with all the starters. So I really wonder if, like, maybe he gets a bench role, a six-man role, and they tell him, you know, the coaching staff tells him, hey, this is your group now. You're the focal point on offense. Be like how you were in those two games when DeMar was out. This is like your unit to have. And so I wonder if that's a case that they're going to look at once Derek White gets back, because, yeah, like we said, you know, unfortunately it does show that, like, you know, he kind of regresses back to be more of a spot-up shooter and, you know, only attacking when he's out on the break for the offense, when we know that, you know, at times, you know, defenses really cannot contain him, though, his dribble penetration, how fast he is and how quickly he gets to the basket, but he just doesn't do that consistently. All right, Mike, so now let's go ahead and dive into our main topic for today, and that is a return to the top 10 defensively. So, you know, you and I are recording this on a Sunday, and, you know, when I woke up this morning on Sunday, I wanted, you know, every other day, every off day, basically, for the Spurs, I check the numbers and just to see how they're doing. And sure enough, they're ninth right now in defensive rating. They're holding teams to 107.9 points per 100. Part of this is that their last four games they've really struggled on offense. But while they've struggled on offense, they've actually played very good defense. And so, you know, it's going to help their numbers out. But let's just go in. I really want to do a deep dive right now into the defense and what they're doing. Some things that are kind of staying consistent that I've seen since the beginning, and then some things that have really improved since the beginning of the season. So like I mentioned, they are ninth in defense right now. They're seventh in opponent offensive rebound percentage. So this is something they've maintained. They've really done a good job of keeping teams off the offensive boards. Their top five players in doing this are DeJounte Murray. We know he's a beast on getting the boards. Rudy Gay, Jakob Poeltl, Devin Vassell, and Keldon Johnson. They're 10th in opponent free throw rate. So this is also something they've been doing pretty much all season, is they're not putting teams on the free throw line. You know, the most that a player gets draws fouls is like 3.5 fouls per 36 minutes, which isn't bad. So they don't have any specific players who's getting into a lot of foul trouble night in and night out. This is an area that they've actually cleaned up, because this is an area of concern for them. At one point, I remember they were like 29th in this area, and that is opponent fast break points. The Spurs are now making it an advantage to play fast, score on offense, but then also not let teams, you know, score on the other end against them. They've done a great job of this recently, and so they're now eighth in that category, holding teams to 12.2 points per game on the fast break. They are sixth in opponent in points off turnovers. So this is when you know, they force turnovers. The Spurs, they're actually sixth now. They're scoring almost 20 points a game, 19.6. And the players, of course, we know that get out on the break are Keldon Johnson, DeRozan, DeJounte Murray, and Lonnie Walker IV. They are seventh in opponent field goal percentage in the restricted area. So we're going to get to the attempts in the restricted area. But when teams get closest to the basket, the Spurs are pretty good now about limiting their effectiveness. They're seventh there. Teams are making 59.7% of their shots. Their main shot blockers right now on the team are Jakob Poeltl, Rudy Gay, and Keldon Johnson. And then they're third in opponent percentage in the non-restricted area, which is about that floater range. So again, they're third there. So you're going to let teams take shots from there. The Spurs are doing a good job of not letting teams make shots from there. And then they've also, even though we're going to talk about the three-point defense, it's still an issue, but one thing they're good at is they're not letting teams get a lot of threes against them. They're holding teams to 31.1 threes per game, which is second best in the NBA in terms of least amount of threes allowed. So let's first talk about their elite defensive skills. What do you think about, you know, in any part of this that I mentioned here about their top 10 ratings in some of these areas?
I mean, I think the one that really stands out to me is the 7th in opponent field goal percentage in the restricted area, because that seems to have been a problem in the past where some of the bigger guys get inside and have kind of had their way against some of the, you know, Spurs defenders, and they've had trouble against some of the bigs. But I think they're getting kind of more help now. And you see, like, Keldon as, you know, one of the main shot blockers. I mean, I think that tells you a lot. And it just overall, I mean, I think everybody's been saying for a while that this team is not the defensive team that they used to be. But there's been kind of a concerted effort to get back to that. And that was building through the draft with drafting Keldon and then Devin and then Jones. I think those were all, like, picks, especially because of defense. And, you know, you already had, like, DeJounte, who's, you know, solid on defense, and some other players that can do that. And so they're starting to get now to a place where they're, you know, they can do well on both ends, and they can really, you know, hold their own against some of these teams. So that really stands out to me. And you know, some of the other things, like I'm seeing on your list, is like the steals. I think that's kind of a byproduct of Pop is not a big fan of people taking too many risks and, mm-hmm. and, you know, trying to, you know, pick off the ball and pass the lanes. And but he doesn't want them to get caught, you know, taking too many risks. And so that kind of speaks to that a little bit. But it's been really cool to see that, you know, that they were able to get back to that. And Jakob being all over this, I think, says a lot as well.
Yeah, and like one thing that just like that I noted yesterday after the Rockets game was that this is just a weird stat, but it also shows how bad they've been defensively in the past. Yeah. Yesterday was their third game holding an opponent below 100 points. Now that doesn't sound like much, right? Just three games they've held opponents under 100 points. Guess what? Just they only did that twice all of last season, even when you throw in the bubble. So that's how bad their defense was, that they couldn't even hold an opponent below 100 points only twice last year. So again, that just shows that 13 games into the season, this team has shown a lot of progress on defense. Let's go ahead and talk about some areas where they're kind of league average in defense, but then also some areas that they do need to improve to get even better and, you know, to move into that top five of defense. So league average areas are something you noted, Mom. Mike. It's something that Pop kind of wants in his defense, is not to be too gamble too much on steals. So we do see that. So they're 17th in opponent turnover percentage at 14.5%. They're 19th in opponent mid-range attempts. Teams are taking 11.2. 17th in opponent mid-range accuracy. That's something, again, they want to try to force teams to take more mid-range and non-restricted area shots, but teams are still kind of getting more to the rim, and also, you know, that's kind of an issue still. Something you mentioned also was, like, you know, like Pop doesn't want them gambling a lot, so they're 21st in steals at 7.2. The players, though, that we do see getting a lot of those steals are Devin Vassell, DeJounte Murray, Keldon Johnson, Rudy Gay, DeMar DeRozan, and Jakob Poeltl. They're 30th in opponent shots in the restricted area. So one thing, though, is that teams are still attacking them over and over and over again at the highest rate in the league in terms of getting the closest shots, even though the Spurs are pretty efficient at limiting the accuracy of those shots. They're 26th in opponent points in the paint, you know, 49 points per game from the opponent from attacking the rim. They're 29th in opponent three-point accuracy. The teams are shooting almost 40% from three against them. And then 56% of their opponent threes are wide open. And then, you know, in the half court, when they do slow the game down, they are 22nd still in half court defense. So what do you think about some of their areas of concern?
Yeah, I mean, I think three-point, especially getting out to three-point shooters, has always been kind of an issue. And it's one thing that's kind of hurt with, like, rotation and things like that. But it seems like now they have players that can play multiple positions, so they can get out on some of those players. But it's something that's good. Definitely will have to improve. You just can't leave. And we saw that a lot over the past few games, is some of the big shots that hurt them were wide open shots, and you can't let, like, Christian Wood take wide open threes out there, and several other players do that as well. But again, there's definitely always going to be room to improve But it kind of makes me wonder, like, how is this going to change when, you know, arguably one of their best defensive guards is still not playing in Derek White.
Yep.
So, like, when they get him back, like, you know, where does it go from there?
Yeah, for sure. And that's, yeah, like, just like you know, they're still going to have another defensive piece coming to this team, and that's Derek White eventually getting inserted into this group. I think the main issue why you see the 22nd in half-court defense and also the three-point percentage, when I go back and watch tape, for me, and you even saw this against the Rockets, there was some times where, like, the Rockets just got a really easy cut to the basket, is that it's just still kind of communication. I really feel like from what I see, a lot of these young players on the Spurs, you know, Devin Vassell, Lonnie, Keldon Johnson, DeJounte Murray, is that they're pretty good one-on-one defenders, and I think that's a really good strength of them, but I think that they still need time, and they're young, you know, it's only year two for a lot of them playing together as a group, is communication. It's more communication. I think that's where they have their lapses, whether it's in the half court or, you know, getting out and helping out on the three-point line. And so I think that's an area where, you know, they can still improve. Luckily, if it's a communication error, well, then guess what, you can just continue to improve. And one area that I think that shows that this team can improve, that they show the ability to improve in a category, is their fast break defense. You know, that was a real big issue for them the first two or three weeks of the season. I remember Pop talking about it, the players, and guess what, they've actually fixed it. You know, they haven't given up a lot of fast break points, so it shows that, you know, if they can, and you know, a lot of fast break defense transition is really just communication. That's what it comes down to, and effort. And so they have shown that that's an area that they can improve on, and so if they can do it in that area, well, then I think that going forward they can continue to work on their half court defense. Now there's going to be some issues, obviously, just on personnel, you know, depending on who gets minutes from more of the veteran players. If they continue to get minutes, well, then that could also, you know, be a hindrance to the defense improving. But again, I think that we'll see them improve. One other thing I wanted to note was that, you know, we saw how defense can save them and get some wins, because, you know, in these last four games they have struggled from the three-point line. They shot below 30% in each of these four games against against Thunder, Wolves, and Rockets. And one thing, though, is that they won a few of these games because, again, they can rely on their defense. They can keep it a low-scoring game, you know, keep it kind of like in the mud. And so, because all they have to do is try to execute, and they can actually get a win there. And so we saw that with some of these games, but then also some of these losses. So, again, their defense is, so far, it's back 13 games into the year. And if they can keep that, well, then they're going to be in ball games like we've seen pretty much this entire year. They're not going to be getting blown out many times. Let's move on to I just want to spotlight one player, you know, this week on the Spurs cast, and that's Jakob Poeltl. You know, he's coming off a really good game against the Houston Rockets. Coach Pop called him the star of the game. So let's really dig into Jakob. And one thing about Jakob you got to note, you know, pretty much is that you don't want to just rely on the base stats, because, you know, they may not seem as impressive. It's really more the advanced stuff that you want to see, and also the eye test, what he does for a team. So his base stats are 4.8 points per game he's scoring, 6.2 rebounds he's collecting, 2.1 assists, 1 turnover, 0.8 blocks, and 19.6 minutes. So he's only playing about 20 minutes a game. His shot profile, 98% of Jakob's shots do come in the paint. You know, we see him doing that in a lot of rolls to the rim or getting some post-ups. He's shooting 69% in the restricted area, so that's the area closest to the basket. That's actually a team high among rotation players, that accuracy. So he is finishing well right now near the rim. He's shooting 37% in that non-restricted area. That's more like that floater range. So he doesn't take a lot of shots from there, but when he does, you know, that's obviously not an effective shot. He is getting post-ups this year, you know, off the bench. He's got 14 post-ups so far this year. That's second on the team behind only Aldridge. He's only taken 5 shots in the post-up, so but he's actually shooting well, 60%. And then just like I said, you know, for Jakob, you don't want to look at the base stats because they're not that impressive, but you really want to dive into the more the advanced stuff. And this is where you see that he's actually playing pretty well. When you compare him, he's pretty much a 5, and so is LaMarcus Aldridge. So when you compare them, you see that Jakob is pretty much excelling past Aldridge in almost every defensive advanced defensive category. So we look at deflections, steals, defensive field goal percentage, contested shots, blocks, and defensive rebounds. He's ahead of Aldridge in all of those categories. The only area where Aldridge is you know, ahead of him is in fouls. Jakob fouls about 3.5 times per 36 minutes, whereas Aldridge is at 2.7, but it's not a major difference. And then I just feel like on offense, there's a two different styles. You know, you got Jakob, who's more that roller, sets your screens, you know, might get a few post-ups here and there, whereas Aldridge, because he's no longer like one of the primary ball handlers, I mean, not primary ball handlers, one of the primary playmakers, because they go through DeRozan, Murray now, Keldon, Lonnie first, and then they go to Aldridge pretty much at this point. He really has trouble getting initiated into the offense and having a role there. And so we do see that in the data. You know, only 28% of his shots come in the paint, so he doesn't roll like Jakob and get deep into the paint and try to finish there. Pretty much all of his shots at this point are coming from the mid-range. 43% of his shots come from the mid-range. He is shooting well there, 53%. But then, you know, he also, you know, he wanted to incorporate the three ball, but it's not, right now it's only 10 games, but he's struggling out of the gates with that three ball. 65% of his shots are wide open from three, so we know defenders are leaving him wide open, and he's only making 31% of those wide open threes. And then just their defensive rating comps, Aldridge is at 117.1 points per 100 when he's on the floor. Jakob's, the team's at 98.7 points per 100 per cleaning the glass. So again, I'm not saying that you know, Jakob should be starting, but it was interesting that Coach Pop closed with Jakob at the five versus the Rockets just recently on Saturday, and also the fact that, you know, we saw them have some success in the bubble with Jakob as a starting five, and just the roles are different, where it's harder, I think, on offense to get Aldridge more involved this year because of this, they're going through the younger players, but and that fits more Jakob's style since he doesn't really need to be a playmaker on offense. But also on defense, we do. I think you can see by the eye test and also by the numbers that, you know, at this point, Jakob's the better defender for this team. So what do you think about Jakob? And then also, you know, if they need to make a change at the lineups?
Yeah, I mean, it's really like an offense versus defense kind of a decision, really, because obviously Jakob doesn't have Marcus's offensive weapons, but at the same time, you can't really have somebody that's gonna, you know, kind of hold the ball for too long. And I think you like somebody that can just, you know, kind of clean up with the rebounds and things like that, get putbacks, like you said, be the, you know, set the screens and things like that, and get his buckets that way. Because there are so many, I guess, offensive weapons now that you kind of don't want to, you know, clog that up, and you don't want to have, like, three other guys just standing around while, you know, DeRozan's, you know, trying to direct traffic out there, and then you have a player that's going to maybe hold on and kind of take up that place in the middle range. So I think what he does defensively kind of makes up for him maybe not being, like, a, you know, serious offensive threat, but he's able to do what he needs to do. And then on defense, with him being able to, you know, defend and get blocks, and obviously rebounds are important, and that's something that Aldridge has never been a big rebounder. So if that's important in securing possessions or extending possessions, then obviously I think then Hurdle becomes kind of the easy choice there. So it's just kind of like what you have on the, what else you have on the floor, and what's, I guess, in that state of the game, what's the most important thing. But he's definitely having a good season, and you're right. I mean, if you're looking just at basic stats, it's not gonna, nothing's gonna really stand out. But you kind of have to watch the game and watch what he does to really, I think, get a little more appreciation for it. Because, you know, he's able to fill in that role and just do his job, and then just be able to help defend, be one of those defenders like we talked about, along with you know, Keldon or DeJounte and others. So anyway, so I thought it was interesting him being the, I guess, the center that Pop went to at the end of the game. So I'm kind of wondering if we'll see more of that, you know,
in future sure. games. And not only that, you know, I know that against the Rockets, Pop closed with Jakob, but then, you know, in other games, Pop's been closing more so with Rudy Gay at the five. So you have seen that when it comes to crunch time and it's a close game, Pop doesn't really, you know, want the, because a lot of teams like to, like I remember D'Angelo Russell did this, where they like to put Aldridge in the pick and roll and then try to get those wide open threes because he has to drop back and he can't kind of recover. So I think that we're starting to see that Pop's starting to trust Rudy and Jakob there at the five a little bit more based on what we've seen recently. So again, I think for one defensive Aldridge is that, you know, he has not played that much, you know, really. He's, you know, think about it. He didn't go to the bubble. He pretty much missed, you know, the ending of last year. So he's pretty much almost missed like a full year of basketball. But then also even this season, he can't really get into the games because he's also, you know, dealt with some injuries as well. And so I think it was his left knee that he had some issues. So he's only played in 10 games so far this year. So again, maybe give him some more time. Maybe 10 games is still too limited of a sample size. So we'll see maybe like game 20. But like if we get to like game 20 that Aldridge has played and Jakob's still, you know, posting these kind of numbers and also, you know, just, you know, getting more opportunities there to close, I think that maybe they do need to look at that as a decision of whether or not there needs to be a lineup change. And then something too for offense for Aldridge is that, you know, Derek White's going to come back eventually, and Derek's going to become, you know, he has a high usage, so he's going to take a lot more, again, playmaking opportunities away, and it's going to be pretty much all the wings and guards, DeRozan, Derek White, DeJounte, and Lonnie and Keldon making all the decisions in terms of where the ball is going to go in the offense. So again, we'll see what happens. That's just an interesting debate, and I really wanted to highlight Jakob's play, especially after Pop called him, you know, the star of the game last night in that game against the Rockets. So we'll go ahead and you know, get ready to close out this episode here. Make sure, Spurscast listeners, that you're visiting ProjectSpurs.com. You know, go check out Steven Anderson's analysis after each game. Benjamin Bornstein has the latest prospect watch over Greg Brown, so make sure you check that out. We added a new writer in Carl Schoening, so make sure you check out his first piece. That's called A Closer Look at the Austin Spurs' Draft Picks, you know, where Carl kind of writes about some of those draft picks that the Austin Spurs selected. And then, like Mike mentioned earlier, you know, our Forever Toros podcast is available. They just recorded episode 6, and that was it was on the G League draft. That was with John Diaz, Mike, and Jonas Clark as well. So thanks again to Mike for joining me here on the Spurscast and for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.